You're listening to Nutty Bites. Good for you.
Hello, mixed nuts and nutcases. Welcome to Nutty Bites for the month of October. And I'm recording this on October 31st. And with me, I have a guest.
Oh, hey, that's me.
We've got Mark the Encaffeinated One in the studio, so to speak, which happens to be my living room today.
It's the mobile studios.
It is very, Nimla Studios is very mobile. Since I invaded his podcast this week, The Weird Show, check that out at theweirdshow.com, we decided it would be a really nice thing for him to invade my podcast.
Wait, what was this we business?
The royal we.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I'm so royal and regal.
I seem to recall it was, hey, do you want to record something?
Well, it also means sure. that I get my podcast recorded before the end of the month, which is really good because NaNoWriMo starts tomorrow. Well, it's okay if I do it in the beginning of the following month because I'm supposed to be commenting on October.
Well, yeah, you're commenting all the cool stuff that happened in October, and there's still a couple of hours left.
There are a couple of hours. Cool, you know, we may take over the universe in the last few hours, but...
Well, it is Halloween. A lot of things happen. You know, the veil between the darkness and the light is very thin tonight.
What's awesome in the month of October?
Halloween. Easy.
No, I'm going to start out with Thanksgiving.
Oh, right.
We got to start at the beginning of the month.
Way back. Cast your mind back to the beginning of October. Historical moment now.
As some of you who have listened to the... still to be named Nutty Border Crossing or whatever we're going to call it, we discussed how Thanksgiving has happened in Canada already. I was in New York in October for the first half of the month, and I went up to visit my husband in Ontario because he's on course there. Then we went all the way to North Bay and celebrated Thanksgiving with the family and had our ham. Not quite turkey, but ham and all
definitely
sorts of
ham is not quite turkey.
No, it's not quite turkey. It's I was about to say turkey, but then I remembered we actually
not had even ham. Not even if pig had feathers would ham be turkey.
No, I'd like to see what a crossbreed, not a genetic splicing of
herky.
Yes, a herky
or a tam, and would it be a river tam?
Would it be a tig or a perky? Well, because the actual animal, ham is the food,
well, that's
but the,
true.
A pig is
whereas the, turkey is just turkey.
Yes.
And then there's also the bacon. I mean, a pig is a multifaceted
and
animal.
And there is such a thing as turkey bacon.
It's true. Maybe there's the crossover route.
This perky already exists.
Perky.
Yes.
Yes. It sounds like it should be caffeinated, though, if it's perky. It should have like a little...
So what you're saying is you would like some caffeinated bacon now?
That sounds pretty good.
That does sound good.
I could see it roasted with coffee or something.
Well, I do remember us discussing at one point how there needs to be caffeinated peanut butter, so...
That's true. I
have caffeinated hot cocoa.
I could actually do that because I have a grinder and some coffee beans and I have peanut butter.
Yeah, I can't have
or a blender, coffee. Or a blender with coffee and peanuts.
What if I just took no-dos and ground it up and put it in my peanut butter?
I think you'd be arrested.
Why?
For creating illegal drugs.
No-dos is legal, isn't it?
Not when you add it to other things.
I don't know.
When you put it in your food. That might be wrong.
Well, the FDA is going to come after me. What's Canada's version of the FDA?
Probably the FDA.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's probably the Food and Drug Administration.
Wouldn't it be the Ministry of Food and Drugs?
Well, okay, it might be. But I don't think... That now you're making it sound like Hogwarts. The Ministry of Food and Drugs.
Where do you get your driver's license from?
The
Ministry of Transportation.
Ministry of Driving and such.
No.
Where they have all the broom licenses.
Mm-hmm. So that happened.
There was turkey and ham.
Yes, and awesomeness and family times. And unfortunately, I was going to drop in on Skinner Co., the people that bring you Flash Pulp, but the plague hit them.
Well, no, not, it wasn't unfortunate that you were going to drop in on.
No, it was unfortunate that I couldn't, yes, because I was going to drop in, and then the plague hit Skinner Co., and it was, you know, not happening, and I'm already half zombie as it is.
Because you wouldn't say, like, unfortunately there was cake, but I didn't have any. No, there was cake, but unfortunately I didn't have
any. That's true. Now I want cake. I do have the makings for lemon cakes.
Uh-oh.
No, wait. Anyway, so...
Focus.
My goodness. Maybe having a co-host isn't so good.
We got the beginning of the month off okay.
We're only just starting. One of the great things about being in New York for the beginning of the month was I got to see my teeny tiny new nephew, who was about a month old, and he was all sorts of tiny. And I got to hold him and put him in the Superman pose and...
Call him George.
No, Tyler.
Oh.
I called him Tyler. Or T.S., which I think is a very literary name. I think one day he might grow up to be a writer or... I don't know.
Or a football star, maybe. Sounds like a very football star type thing, especially Tyler. Yo, T.S.,
I'm having hard time seeing little Tyler as a football player.
Well, he's only a month old. Give him time to work up to it.
Can we go for soccer? I mean, at least that'll work.
Well, isn't that football?
Yes, but in North America, it's not called football.
Yeah, but see, I'm Canadian, which means I'm allowed to accidentally call it football when I'm in soccer.
Well, it's football.
Football?
Yeah, F-U-T.
That'd be woot ball, wouldn't it? You want woot ball.
I
want
to play woot ball. Is that like Calvin ball?
I don't know. But I think we just invented it, whatever it is.
Yes. All right. Mixed nuts and nutcases. I would like you to write down the rules of woot ball and email nuttybites@nimlast.org, call 347-9042, or comment on the blog, nimlast.org/blog.
You're giving them homework already? We've barely started the month.
My godfather was in New York while I was there, which is pretty awesome. He lives in Colorado.
Does he give you an offer you can't refuse?
Well, he is my Italian godfather, too. His last name's Gagliano.
Now I'm worried.
My godfather, I don't get to see him very often, but when I see him, he sure makes up for it with enthusiasm. and quite often, he just refers to me as goddaughter.
Wow.
Yes, I get to feel very special. So I got to see him, and that was a lot of fun. And my aunt as well, who's looking smoking hot, gotta say. So shout outs to Papa Lou and Martha.
Wait, your godfather is called Papa Lou?
Yes.
So we're talking some serious mafia ties here or something.
IBM ties.
That would count. That's like the intellectual mafia.
Papa Lou is awesome. He was in town for his something college reunion, like, I don't know, forever ago at Fort Schuyler University.
So does he like leave the heads of supercomputers on people's beds when they're ruining his life?
You know, I don't think so. But not many people try to ruin Papa Lou's life.
Well, no. Not many people want to bother with the Godfather. That'd be dangerous.
I just giggle because if you only knew him. I got to see Tech quite a bit. Got to see the family quite a bit, which was nice going back and forth. It's a lot closer from New York to Ontario than from New Brunswick to Ontario.
It's only an optical illusion.
I could make
New England is really long. Maine in particular.
Maine. It's all Maine. If I could just cut out Maine, it'd be like nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of people say that of Maine.
Oh.
I like Maine where it's populated. The problem is you're driving through miles upon miles of nothing but trees. You're outnumbered by the trees.
It makes great ambiance for listening to horror, though.
It's true. The only thing is you got to listen to about 8 hours of it.
I generally have 8 hours of horror on my iPod, though.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
I got to go to New York Comic Con. I only went for the Friday afternoon, so I didn't get to see that much, but I did get to go there to support T and Pip, T. Morris, Philippa Ballantyne, the authors of Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, Phoenix Rising.
I don't know if I say this often enough or in enough public, but T and Pip rock.
They do rock.
They do really, really good work, and they're really awesome people.
And I've heard that on occasion they roll as well.
I think they will do both, even at the same time.
Well, they're a partnership, so I think, like, sometimes one's rocking and one's rolling.
There you go. That could be it.
There you go. Pip also is the author of Geist Spectre. And what's the other book that she's got published?
I don't know.
Digital Magic, Chasing the Bard,
Ones. I thought you meant that series, yeah.
No, I know. No, she's got another, like, three separate publishing deals, and I can't remember the other one. They do the shared desk. They're, like, everywhere. And if you've heard podcasting, and you know who D. Morris is.
He's written a book or two.
I think he wrote the book on podcasting and Twitter, so,
He's written the books, too,
I think he's written the book or two.
Not to mention the Billy books, of course.
Oh, of course. Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword
and the Pitcher's Pendant
are both primo awesome and has inspired a lot of people to make patio books and do full cast, I believe.
Yeah. The you know, going further back.
Moravi.
Moravi, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which is quite an epic.
So also at New York Comic Con, so I got to go and for the signing for T and Pip. I got to see T on a steampunk panel, which I recorded the first 45 minutes of, and that is in the hands of T and Jared Axelrod, so it may come out somewhere from other people. I just did the actual recordings. They have it now, and we'll see where that comes out. I was there, so I don't need to listen to it again. there are pictures on Facebook and Flickr from New York Comic Con with a couple of costumes and from that panel, which kind of give you an idea of how things went as well. It was a really interesting panel, and there are definitely some authors that I would like to look up and check out, and some maybe not. Okay, one maybe not. And Jared was there, and he gave his points of view. And for those of you not in the know, Jared Axelrod is the face that you will see if you look steampunk up on Wikipedia. He is also the author of Fables of the Flying City and Planet X. Is that it?
Tales from Planet X.
Tales from Planet X and, like, a bunch of other awesome projects.
I think that... No, Free Radio Planet? I don't forget.
Oh, it could be Free Radio Planet X. That sounds familiar.
That sounds familiar.
He's also the guy that did Aliens You Will Know?
Aliens You May Meet.
Aliens You May Meet, which is puppets.
Yeah.
We all know I love puppets. And he had the most killer jacket on. It was so awesome. It had this whole, like, mural on the back, and it said abolish slavery. And it was really great because somebody asked a question about, like, why is steampunk always in the aristocracy, and why do we never see the uglier side of the Victorian era? So Jared just gets up and he's like, pointing to his jacket, you know, which was just really great. So New York Comic Con was pretty awesome. I got to try out Star Wars Old Republic. It was interesting.
That's the MMORPG they put
out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the new MMO. It's pretty interesting. It is a lot like, in the gameplay, a lot like Star Trek Online or Conan. Well, not as much as Conan, but Lord of the Rings, that sort of thing, where you go out, you kill things, you loot the bodies, so forth, but...
That's pretty much like all the MMOs.
Yeah, but it didn't seem... There was a bit of active combat system in one sense of the word. I still don't like the fact that you walk up to the person, you click them, and then you do your different attacks rather than actually controlling how your character fights.
Okay.
So it's a little more like WoW in that sense, but the storyline seemed really interesting, and the one thing I really liked about the fighting is if you're blocking and somebody's shooting a blaster at you, your lightsaber will deflect
The
blaster shots, which was really cool. I didn't get to play too much on that, and I only played the PvE because I really don't like PvP when it comes to MMOs.
I hate PvP because everyone's better than me.
I just don't like the attitudes of people who play PvP. And that's not to say that if you play PvP, you've got a bad attitude. It's just, I find that there's this whole, I'm better than you, and it's all about trying to squash other people. I'm more into cooperative play. And so that's why I like PvE. Plus, if there's a storyline, it's interesting.
I just remember in WoW, in a mixed realm, like, you could do PvP if you were kind of invoked, and you could both agree to do it, right? Otherwise, you couldn't interact. Yeah. But I remember going in one area where when I was playing Alliance, the other person was playing Horde, and they just kept walking over my character, and I couldn't get anything. And tried to click on anything, I'd click on their character, which they were hoping I would accidentally start a fight.
Yeah.
Like, it literally was someone just going, yeah, come on, yeah, I can take you, come on. And I was just like, I really don't want to be here right now.
Yeah. So. In DDO, there are PvP areas.
Hmm.
And generally, it's a back room of the inn. And often, we'll go there to test out spells and so forth. And I've never gone in there since this happened, but two of my guildies were testing out spells, just trying to figure out how things work and figure out some strategies. And somebody higher level just came and just started trouncing them. And they're like, dude, obviously we're in a duel here ourselves. Yeah. And clearly, like, what are you doing? Like, clearly we're not interested in battling everybody here, but I just don't like that. So that was interesting. There were a lot of really great costumes. My favorite would have to be the Mr. T that I met outside.
Oh, God.
And he had this giant cannon on his arm. The thing that I liked best about it is he really played the character. I mean, he was...
I don't remember...
I'm sorry, he was B.A. Baracus. But essentially, I felt like the guy was Mr. T.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember Mr. T ever being carrying a cannon.
Yeah, no, he was B.A. Baracus.
That's a little bit better. Did you walk up to him and say, Eclipse, and see if he fell over from asleep?
No, and I didn't offer him milk. but he did, as he was posing for the picture, he was saying, what did he say? He's like,
There's got to be an I pitied a fool in there somewhere.
Stay in school, stay off drugs, only fools use drugs, and all the like PSA stuff. Right. He did do a I pity the fool thing.
The last time I saw Mr. T, the actual Mr. T,
I've never seen him.
A television show. I never saw him in person, but he was on a television show being interviewed, and around his neck, and I'm pretty sure it was him and not a parody version of him, was a golden ladle. Like, it just like he'd taken the whole silverware drawer and just put the gold covering on all of it and then just hung it around his neck.
I've seen him interviewed and people asked him about the different pieces. He's like, I just see something and I think, yeah, that'll look good, and I just add it.
You know, some people have big houses. I don't think he could afford it because he's wearing all his money around his neck. But you know what? He's pretty smart to invest in gold.
Exactly. Like, really?
You know, he's going to buy a small country, invest in gold.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so today is Halloween, and I spent my Halloween going to a haunted house with the Encaffeinated One here.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. It was really cool because it was the first time I ever went to a haunted house that wasn't completely lame,
Yeah, I'd been to, the permanent ones. I remember one in Niagara Falls, I went to one, right? And it was kind of like, it's a permanent installation, and I was really too young to go into it.
That's supposed to be, the biggest one, isn't it?
Well, this wasn't. This was just one of those small little ones there's a whole... Back in, whatever it was, 5,000 years ago when I went.
5,000 years ago.
Back when the world was young, and so
dinosaurs
was I.
Dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Yeah, the dinosaur exhibit was terrible, because it was all alive. but this one was a lot of fun. This is the first time I've kind of gone to one which is kind of halfway between something which is kind of perfectly professional and something which was totally amateur.
Yeah.
This is somewhere in between because you don't have people that are paid to do this. It's all done for charity in this case. But they did a really good job of it. And the only real problem with the thing was the fact that there were too many people there.
Yeah, they weren't expecting as many people to show up. We had an hour and a half wait.
At least, yeah.
At least. And that was from the time that you paid your ticket entering the house and going all the way upstairs so you could start the descent downstairs.
It was nice, though, that even on the line, they had little things happening.
Yeah.
Like, there was this one woman who was dressed up as kind of a zombie ghost type thing who would suddenly make a bang on the glass with the door beside it.
Oh, that was the one that was eating a bird.
At one point, she was eating a bird, or she was just moving.
She was
really
on the other
creepily.
Side of a fire door.
Kind of really method actor getting involved in it. I love that because I love those little things.
The guy trying to sell us insurance.
That's right, yes.
He was trying to sell us skin insurance, bone insurance,
bowel insurance,
brain insurance, lungs, heart. All sorts of things, which was really fun as they would go up and down and talk to you.
So even that part was nice, even though that was just the line to get in, really.
And we knew we were in for a good time because there were these younger girls behind us.
Oh, God.
And one of them was getting so scared at everything.
Yeah, there were some scare actors who were just in costume, just walking up and down the line.
And she just freaked right out.
Every time.
So when we did go into the haunted house, the actual tour part, we were in a group with them, and oh my gosh, it was so funny.
It was crazy.
It was awesome.
It's nice to see. I guess I worry a little bit that people get more cynical or have gotten more cynical at younger ages now. And it's kind of nice and kind of refreshing to see someone who can kind of let themselves be that vulnerable and open to the experience. And she was looking forward to it, but terrified at the same time.
She obviously wanted to be scared.
Her friends that were with her were kind of, joking about that she was kind of scared. But they reacted, too. They jumped almost as many times as she did.
Yeah.
So, no, that was fun. That was kind of the payoff, actually.
And they had the actors that were involved in the Haunted House were really great, but they also had these young actors, kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so you had these creepy kids all over the place, and oh my gosh, they were pretty cool. At one point, I'm at the back of the line. I started at the front, I ended up at the back, and then by the end of the Haunted House, I was in the front again. But when I was in the back of the line, I had these kids, these zombie, scared, ghosty-looking kids pushing at the back of me saying, faster, faster, go faster, faster. It was really funny. Run. They were trying to chase
now.
Me. Yes. So that was a lot of fun. And then tonight is Halloween, and we spent quite a bit of time handing out treats to all the ghosts and ghouls. And we even had a couple of kids show up dressed as dragons. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Rory got to go out and say hello to them. He had fun with that. We were supposed to carve pumpkins tonight, but there's a pumpkin shortage.
Worldwide pumpkin shortage.
Well, I'm not sure it's a... Well, I guess it would be a worldwide, because there aren't pumpkins outside of North America.
North American thing.
Yes. All the hurricanes and tropical storms this summer.
And the snowstorm we had yesterday.
And the snowstorm.
Which, actually, we didn't get... you got a lot of American listeners... we didn't get nearly as much as everybody else south of us, which we get to laugh at now.
Yeah.
Because we're the Great White North, and you guys got the snow down south.
Storrs, Connecticut has over a foot.
Yeah.
And Fredericton got snow, and I didn't get it, and I'm right next door.
I'm sympathetic, because I know how bad it can be when you get a sudden snowstorm.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a part of me is going, hey.
Well, the funny thing is, in Canada, all of these kids that we're seeing, they're all dressed for the weather. They've got sweatpants underneath their costumes. The costumes are thick and made of fleece.
A few of the costumes, you go, what are you? Oh, well, beneath my winter jacket, I am
although
a
most of them, Canadians, they know how to dress under the costume.
Yeah. This happens every year. We
New
get winter
Yorkers and, a lot of American... Halloweeners.
Did we go through this already with Halloweenies or Halloweenesque? Halloweeners?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that was a different show altogether.
It was a different
show. That was me on the radio, sorry.
No. We did talk about it on the Weird Show a little bit. But
yeah, a little bit.
It was past tense. It was what... And I think we came up with Halloweened.
Halloweened, yes.
Yeah, what you... The
could
activities
be.
You
could
do.
Be.
Anyway, so... Americans and, New York, Connecticut, Northeast area, and much further south are used to going out in, almost nothing. Put it lightly, even I've gone out in Halloween with, just a skirt on, no leggings, short sleeves, tank tops, whatever, because it's a little cold on Halloween, but by the time you're in the bar or... wherever you're going, you're totally fine. And even walking around trick-or-treating, all you need is a light jacket. They're not used to having snow on Halloween, and I had so many people saying, what am I supposed to wear as my costume now?
Yeah.
And I just
said, in fact, I know, I remember hearing in a couple of states they're actually going to basically postpone Halloween.
What?
Because it's not safe. There's not enough power, there's not too much snow.
Well, yeah. If there's
nobody
no power,
can really
you,
go
can't,
out, right?
you can't do Halloween.
And that kind of sucks.
That does suck.
We had a great... start of October here, and I thought it was going to be a warm October, and then for about midway through it started to get colder, and then this last week it really dipped. And then everybody
Today was beautiful.
Today was still chilly. Today was still -1 this morning.
Yeah, but by midday I was driving with the windows down.
Yeah, well, you may be crazy.
I'm not crazy. I also happen to be wearing long sleeves.
Well, that also helps.
But yes, so it's a very different situation. So everyone that said, am I supposed to do for my costume? I said, welcome to a Canadian Halloween.
Pretty much. Yeah. And we're saying all this, and I was here to help hand out candy, and we still almost ran out of candy.
Oh my gosh.
And I had brought extra candy that I felt guilty about buying and didn't want to eat all myself. And still, we pretty much ran out.
Yeah, we went through an 80-piece bag that I had bought. Half of your big box that looks like you got it from Costco, and half of my Smarties bag. Sorry, Flash Bubblers, you're getting less Smarties. And these would be the American Smarties.
Yeah, they're not really Smarties.
They are really Smarties.
For your Canadian listeners, we would call them Rockets.
Yeah, they're not chocolate. They're sugar.
Yeah, the little sugar pills.
They look like pills.
Yeah, in a little...
They're awesome.
I can't go near them. They're just too much sugar for me.
Oh, I love them. We only have a few Smarties and a couple of Whoppers left over.
Yeah.
Which a lot of kids seem confused about. They didn't know what they were.
Again, I don't think of Whoppers as being that big a thing. I see them at Halloween. I don't usually see them much during the rest of the year.
I do think they are kind of a... They're a Halloween candy and a an at-the-movies candy. But since Nestle owns all your movie concessions up here, you never see them.
Perhaps entirely possible, yeah.
But getting candy at the movie theater up here in Canada.
That's why you buy a soft pretzel before going into the theater.
I see. A soft pretzel, you say?
Yes. Yes.
Good to know.
It's a fine Canadian invention.
Can I bring a poutine in with me? You think they'll let me do that?
I'm sure you will, actually. The movie theaters we have here, they have New York fries.
Fries is right outside. Like, so, I'm thinking, Harry Putin, you know, going to the movies. This sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I like that. I like the sound of that. We keep talking about food, and just ate a feast, too.
It's true.
So tonight, midnight, starts NaNoWriMo. So NaNoWriMo is happening this month, and so I will be typing. Hopefully, I will have a story that I want to share with the world.
Hopefully, I'll have an idea by the time I'm going to start.
That would be nice.
I don't know how this works.
You're not alone. When I went to the NaNoWriMo kickoff party, I'd say about half of the people there had no idea what they were going to write.
I never have any idea what I'm going
to
write.
Well, I wanted to bring up NaNoWriMo's because I wanted to make sure that the listeners understood that even if you haven't signed up, you haven't outlined, you haven't done anything, and this will probably not go out for a couple of days because I'm going to still have to edit it and everything. Even if you haven't done anything, even if November's already started, it's not too late.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Should we explain what NaNoWriMo is? Do you think your listeners will know already?
You know, I'm going on the assumption that they do, but I don't know because they weren't my listeners last year.
Let's just say NaNoWriMo is short for National Novel Writing Month. It's a challenge in the month of November to write a novel about 50,000 words or more in that month. Just get it done. It's one of those it's one of those ones where, you know, everybody says they want to write a novel. Fine, take the month and do it.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting, fun sort of self-competition.
It's 50,000 words because that's the shortest that you can write and publish as a novella. Also, if you want to write longer, it's a good start. And once you've started that much, you're just going to continue.
Yeah.
And it's to prove to yourself that you know that you can write a novel, that you can write this book, and that you actually do have the time. Nobody can really plan, and that's why if everybody who wanted to write the great American novel, or I should say North American novel, if everybody wanted to write
the great universal novel,
the great novel, you know, that they wanted to get what's going on in their mind out there on the page, and all it took was a 9-to-5 job, then every 9-to-5er would have their novel.
Right.
But the thing is, nobody has the time because life gets in the way. And in truth, you do have the time. And that's why a month like this, when you're focused on doing this, it shows you just how much time you have.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what I'm going to be concluding at the end of the month. I'm going to be concluding, oh my God, I'm glad that's over because I have now free time. I can sit in front of... I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't have time to watch TV. I don't read a lot of books. I don't have time to. And it's I always have a problem with this notion of just make time to do what you want.
Yeah.
And it's like, what am I going to make it out of? What are the raw ingredients?
I work from home and I still don't have the time.
It's
are you
not
kidding?
A matter... I mean, you know, making time is always the wrong expression because people think that, you know... I don't know why people get bored... Or why people have all this free time.
It's like, never been bored.
I've never had
in a doctor's waiting room.
I have a backlog of hobbies that I want to get. Like, I have a separate room in my apartment that is now becoming my hobby room, in which I kind of store things until I think I'm going to be doing them. But as far as like making time, NaNoWriMo for me is also a challenge in trying to organize my time, to try to figure out why I'm so busy. Part of it is that I spend as much time as I can with friends, you know, doing things, and then I also do my show, and I'm, you know, working, plus I'm trying at some points to get back occasionally to my PhD, and all of these things kind of take a lot of my time, but I really feel, and I have for a long time felt this real need to create something, to be creative. Now, recently I got the chance to do that for Halloween.
Zombie Shark,
which was just this ridiculous notion. It came out of a ridiculous conversation.
Go to theweirdshow.com, look up episode. Do we know what episode it is?
It should be 198.
198, Subliminal Intent. The very end, there is Zombie Shark. It's totally worth listening
to. It was fun to do.
NaNoWriMo, for me, there's community meetups, and you can meet up with other people who are trying this experiment. And last year, I had such a blast. My group, they meet all year round. It's not just a NaNoWriMo thing. It's a constant writing group. But I found them because of NaNoWriMo. And I had so much fun, and that's how I ended up making all of my friends in Nova Scotia. And I miss them very dearly. This year, I have joined the Fredericton NaNoWriMos. And you get together once a week, you write together, and you kind of get some help. So if you feel, I'm not a writer, this isn't something I could do, go to the meeting and you will find out that there are people who are more advanced than you, less advanced than you, all different levels, and they're willing to help, and it's a lot of fun. And I have been to, I will by the end of the month have been to, from October to the end of November, to 3 regions NaNoWriMo meetings. In October, I went with my sister to her meeting in Connecticut, and I had a lot of fun there. And then I am meeting with the Fredericton one. And then shortly after HalCon, I think it's like the 14th or 15th, I will be meeting with the Wolfville RIMOs in Nova Scotia. Just gonna extend my trip just a little bit so that I can, you know, go in and meet up with the old group and everything. And I just think that the meetings and the support and the reason to do NaNoWriMo is, yeah, you could write in a weekend, but you're the only one doing it. Whereas in November, everybody's doing this, and so you have this support, and if you have frustrations, there are people who are already focused and thinking about writing a novel that they can be there to help.
What I'm listening to.
What we're listening to. So I'm pretty sure I'm listening to more than this, but I'm going to just come out with the two that I can think of. One is a patio book, Compensating Controls, by James Keeling. That is a patio book that's coming out now, so you will have to wait for more episodes. But they are coming out very regularly, and it's a very interesting story. It involves a little bit of hacking and espionage and lots of violence and quite a bit of gore, especially the episode I listened to today. Ugh, I actually squicked. I usually don't squick, but if you start dealing with the eyes or teeth, I will squick, and he happened to touch on something. I'm not going to spoil it.
Touched a nerve, so to speak.
Yes, touched a nerve. The other one is Supervillain Corner with Professor Brain Fever. And this isn't a very interesting one. This is a great way to get your podcast out there. I got a message from Twitter saying that Supervillain Corner was following me. I clicked on it and it said Professor Brain Fever. I said, Professor Brain Fever. Oh, that just sounds awesome. How can I not follow someone named Professor Brain Fever? So I responded to him and told him that I would be following him because his name's just way too awesome. And he's a supervillain, so how cool is that? And so you said, you know, podcast is coming out. Well, a couple of episodes have come out already. And if you want to know how to be a supervillain, this is the podcast to listen to. Because let me tell you, oh, yeah, it's funny. It's so much fun. I'm really enjoying it. So, NCAF.
I listen to so many bloody things on a regular
basis.
What
have you discovered recently? That's what this segment's about.
I just finished, I just finished Down from 10.
There you go, by J. Daniel Sawyer.
Which was an interesting experience. It's funny for me to listen to a lot of full cast book podcasts or audio dramas. From, you know, the community, to put it in capitals, simply tribe. Because I know everybody, the tribe, yeah, I know everybody tribe. Involved, right? So there's always a couple of episodes where I'm trying to separate the people I know from the characters they're playing.
Well, and this is the one that you said that Nathan Lowell did a bad French accent, right?
I wonder.
The man can do something bad.
I wonder if Nathan will ever, you know, hear that I've said that or whatever. I kind of said it on a blog post and a few people. You know, I adore Nathan Lowell. I think his writing is fantastic. I think his voice performance for straight reads is great. Like, he's probably one of the best.
And most things that I've heard, his voice has been, like, outstanding. Well,
and he does a lot of different characters. I don't know. His character work isn't quite as good, but in this particular one, he's got a French accent, and it drove me up the wall. Not that I'm, you know, the best French accent myself. I do speak French relatively well.
Better than me.
But I just was distracted because it sounded like Nathan Lowell doing a bad French accent. And it's funny because the character gets teased for his accent because it's different.
Yeah.
But I don't think because it was necessarily that you know, supposed to be bad. But, and in fact, if you've already listened to Down from 10, you know how even more funny it was that I said that before a certain point comes up about the accent. If you've listened to Down from 10, you know what I'm talking about. It was before that point that I actually made that comment, which made me feel almost worse and better at the same time. Nettie has no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I haven't listened to this yet. So.
But it was a good book, and it was one of those ones that I remember Mainframe saying, it's like, I don't know what this book is about, but I think I like it. But it gets changed again. And that's kind of what the feeling is about the book.
Well, I've heard that Down from 10, you don't know what the book is about until the last couple chapters.
Pretty much, yeah. I also started listening to another podcast I kind of got involved with, which is North of Reality.
Right, I haven't listened to that yet.
I've only listened... Well, the first episode just came out. It's coming out the 15th and the end of every month. And this is another podcast from Jack Ward, who does the Sonic Society. I have a lot of respect for Jack. I think he's a really good actor, really good writer, and hardworking. And he's put this podcast together, and he asked me if I would do something for him. And I said, yeah. So I'm doing the 5-minute news update version. I'm just reading it, but it is funny to see the stories that they've collected for that show and then cross them over with the stories I'm doing for the Weird Show and kind of go, yeah, I remember that story, and yeah, I remember that story. And then when I come across the sequel to the story, it's like, oh, I wish I'd let Jack know about that because the story changed a little bit over time. That's interesting. That's paranormal news investigation ideas taken from more or less a Canadian perspective. It's
Yay,
Jack
Canada.
Ward, Jack Ward, and Antonia something. I can't remember her last name.
I think I can look it up.
The internet is right there, so there's always that possibility.
What is it? Great North?
North of Reality.
North of Reality, right?
Great White North was SCTV with Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Well, and then there's the I think it's Great North Pagan podcast that I'm always confusing this with.
Yes. So I'm interested to see where they go with this. The first episode, which is really an episode zero, they did have me
do... Antonio Minette.
Minette, okay. And it's the first episode is kind of an episode zero.
Yeah.
Because it's, here's what we plan to do, here's who we are, that sort of thing. I'm really interested to see, the first episode should actually drop tonight, Halloween.
Yes, Jack was talking about that.
The first real episode, really, where they get into something, we want to do interviews. I'm looking forward to it. I think that they've got an interesting perspective on it. They've got a lot of interest in both, in kind of maintaining an even keel but keeping an open mind, that sort of thing.
We should do feedback.
Feedback.
Lulu Bizou. Nick Chess, just listen to your Battle of the Borders. That's another good name for it.
Oh, I like that.
It was so much fun. You definitely have to talk more about food. Yes, we definitely have to do a whole segment about food. Canada versus the U.S. And let's see, who feeds their people better? And I do believe we have a voicemail.
A voicemail.
Greetings, Nukchas, and a sorted nutty folk. This is Doug, phoning in, and just finished up your most recent episode, Nutty Border Crossings, perhaps? Who knows? It was interesting to hear the two of you discussing the differences between Canadian and American Thanksgiving. I'm currently actually working on pretty much a daily basis with a company that is based out of, I believe, Toronto. And so that's, you know, part of my day-to-day observance. And it was interesting, over the summer, trying to implement this project that we've been working on, it seemed like every time I turned around, there was some sort of Canadian holiday going on. I just don't know whether they tend to load them all into the summer or not. Perhaps you could discuss that at some point. But, it was a lot of fun. Hope all the Canadians had a good Thanksgiving. And I know here in the States, I'm looking forward to some Thanksgiving because I'll actually be taking some holiday time myself. So, as always, great show and looking forward to the next episode. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Doug, you know, that's great. Are there more holidays in the summer? I'm not so sure, but I do know that they have a problem if there's a month without a holiday, and so they'll just throw one in there, like in August. Most provinces have a civic holiday in August. I'm pretty sure Nova Scotia doesn't, and that was kind of annoying.
No, I don't think we have more holidays in the summertime. It might just be that we don't have them when you would.
Well, you know, you've got 2-4.
Those aren't official holidays.
2-4 is an official holiday.
No more than 4-2.
No, 2-4, Victoria Day.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's
I thought you meant any 2-4.
No.
It's the 24th of the month. It's time to celebrate. Get the beer and get the pack there.
No. May 2-4. And so that's the weekend before Memorial Day for Americans.
Well, see, that's just it. You have Memorial Day instead.
We're not quite so serious, you guys are celebrating the Queen, and we're
nobody really
honoring the day.
Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a monarchist League of Canada. They celebrate the Queen. Westeros are going like, what? When?
I don't think there's anything in June, but who was it? Was it Labatt? No.
Labatt?
Somebody was campaigning to get a government holiday in the month of June. Who was it? And I think it was Labatt's. Because Molson did the I Am Canadian thing. Guinness did the Make St. Patrick's Day a government holiday. And I think it was Labatt's that was trying to campaign to get a holiday in June. But as of now, there is no holiday in June. But then we've got Canada Day.
There's something in June, because that's the...
There's Saint-Jean-Baptiste Day, but people who get Saint-Jean-Baptiste do not get Canada Day, so...
You can pick your loyalties, I guess.
Yes.
but I mean, Balticon weekend.
There's nothing.
Is there not a holiday back here? I thought there was. I guess I made it a holiday by taking
a
day
off. You made it a holiday. Yeah. I can tell you it's not a holiday because we had to take leave days for tech.
Okay. Well, there you go.
and he gets off all the awesome holidays because he works for the government. So
yeah. Well, that's a different. There's where you get all your holidays. If you're working with government, Doug, that's probably where you're getting all the holidays.
Yeah. So then you've got Canada Day, which is July 1st. And then
we don't have July the 4th.
So. No, but then all the Americans would have been out July the 4th. Yeah. So it probably would have felt like they were gone for a whole week.
That's true.
And then what do we've got in July? There's something in July, isn't there?
Well, July 1st.
Oh, right. I just said July 1st. Yeah. And then civic holiday in August. Which
I don't think we have here. I don't remember ever hearing that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they're all called different things.
Like, when's New Brunswick Day?
That would be your civic holiday.
I should know when New Brunswick Day is.
Because I was going to say, Alberta calls it Alberta Day.
It's not in August, It's not in August.
August 1st?
It is August.
It is?
Oh, you know, it's August 1st. That's why I was thinking July.
It's the first Monday.
Yeah, it's not much of a holiday.
So...
For me, in my own particular line of work, I'm working in the radio station, and then the radio station is a constant beast. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday Monday, it still needs me to do things, right?
It doesn't matter if you've already left for the day on Friday. Right. You get in the car, you hear dead air, you're going back to the radio station.
Exactly. So my perspective on holidays is probably not the same.
Yeah.
And before I was doing this job, I was a grad student, and every day was a holiday.
All right. So I think that's all that we have on feedback. I haven't checked the iTunes store or the blog much, which I do check them. It's just we're kind of going off the hip here, and I'm not going to waste the time here. I will get to those next month if there is anything. I don't think there is. The last time I checked, there wasn't.
What I'm reading.
This month, I read Soulless, and by read, I mean I listened to it from Audible.
Oh, so now you're going to cheat.
I totally cheated. But it was something that I've been meaning to read for a very long time, and my sister happened to buy it, so I said, well, you got it on audio, I'll just listen to it on audio. And I had a lot of fun with that. And I was able to pick up the promotional manga from New York Comic Con. There's going to be a trade graphic novel, and that looked pretty cool. Very neat. Kind of fun to see your friend's stuff in comic form.
You know what? I always feel a lot of pride in picking up the books that any of what I consider my friends in the podcasting tribe have done.
Yeah.
Partially it's because, you know, it's good work in almost every case. And I think there may have been one I was disappointed with, but for the most part, I'm still impressed by the fact they got to that stage. And frankly, most of them are just pretty darn good. And I'm so pleased to know them.
Yeah.
You know? The thing I've always said to is said about authors and things like that is like I don't really want to star worship. I'd rather just sit down with them over a beer mm-hmm. or coffee or something and just talk with them. And I've had the pleasure to do that with a lot of these people. Not nearly as much as I would like to.
There's never enough time at a con. And even if you meet people outside of a con, generally there's really not that much time.
Yeah.
I think so far the only way it's been where I've had enough time is, well, when I happen to move right next door.
Yeah, the other times that I've had the bit of time to talk is usually when I'm podcasting with someone. Yeah. I have the chance to talk with them then, and that's kind of fun too.
But, yeah.
But yeah, that's usually quite limited.
But it's definitely fun to see. I mean, I have my shelf of novels written by people that I know, which is too... There's just not enough room for all the books. I need to get more room. Yeah. But then again, I do have multiple copies of a couple of them.
A couple, yeah.
Just a few.
I can't bring myself to buy multiple copies, but I do try to pick all of them up.
Generally, it's one for me, one for Tech, if we're both going to be reading them at the same time. Mm. And then sometimes I will buy them and send them overseas with people. And then they go into the library over in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever.
Yeah.
And I actually had some come back because they're closing up over there.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a rookie. I've got to figure somewhere to go because it's been inscribed to the troops. So I need to find a new home for it. Yes. It's been to Afghanistan and back. So that'll be interesting.
I should mention, too, that I also, before I did Down from 10, listen to Brown Down from 10, I listened to Brian Gamblin's The Hidden Institute.
Isn't that good?
Fantastic job. Really, really enjoyed it. Another one is doing fantastic work with Reeds.
I can't wait to see what happens when he has an editor, though.
I didn't have a real problem with it other than the fact that it did kind of wrap up too quickly in the end.
Yeah, he needed another 25,000 words.
I definitely would have. Yeah. I would appreciate another 25,000 words, absolutely. There's no drag in that story. No. It wasn't an editor in terms of tightening things up as much as it was saying, you need to add more to finish the story.
And it's a great world that he's built.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the funny thing is, it is a short book. It isn't really
that
long.
It's a novella, yeah.
But you get a very great sense of this whole massive aristocracy in a sort of neo-aristocracy in a sort of semi-futuristic steampunk world. And
well, it's basically, what if the culture of the Victorian age never ended? You know, where there is the aristocracy and the common folk, and there was never an uprising of the masses. I finished Game of Thrones, not Game of Thrones, sorry. I finished Dance with Dragons, which is the latest book in the Game of Thrones series, the A Song of Ice and Fire series, and it was pretty awesome. I've heard a lot of negative Nellies out there, but I really like a lot of the backstory stuff. There were a lot of questions that I've had since the first book that were answered. Mm. A few things that I've been waiting for to happen, finally happening, and all I can say is reek. It rhymes with meek. Best part of the book. And that's not a spoiler, because only if you read the book do you understand what I'm talking about.
And since I haven't read the book, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I will say that this book is a little bit more vulgar than some of the other books. The other books, when there were sexual situations, he only writes sexual situations when it's integral to the plot. And so, yeah, there were some that were kind of disturbing, but quite a few of them were very nice scenes. And in this one, there were no pretty ones. That's all.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so there were a few things that were a little more vulgar. And he has the ability to... There are certain characters that you hated throughout the entire series, or you grew to dislike, and then you're loving them in this book. And other characters that you've always loved that you're kind of mad at and hating in this book.
Hmm.
And it's very interesting when an author can basically change everything.
What I'm watching.
Nothing really that new. I did check out the first episode of Grimm and the first episode of Once Upon a Time.
See, I haven't seen either of those, but I was looking forward to possibly watching them.
Grimm, I thought, looked really interesting. Once Upon a Time, I thought, meh. They're both kind of lukewarm at this point. I'm willing to give them further viewing.
Mm.
Grimm, I felt, was really predictable, but in the sense, I felt like the trailer gave away the entire storyline anyway.
For that episode?
Or yeah, for that episode.
See, I never watch trailers because I don't. Yeah. I want the stories to play out on their own. I don't need to be... If I need to be teased into watching something, it's probably not going to be as good as what I'm being teased for.
Well, because I don't watch TV and I don't have a TV signal, I never hear about anything. And I saw this as a trailer on the internet somewhere. So, and that's what made me actually tune in. Stream in. What are we going to call it when we watch...
We'll still call it tuning in, yeah? I suspect.
I don't know. Well, televisions don't tune.
Well, we still talk about, you know, tune into the podcast, yeah, or other things like that.
Anyway, so there was one interesting thing. There's one character that... There's one character relationship that I think will be very interesting.
In which one?
In Grimm. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything, but basically there's somebody that you think... There's somebody you think is going to be a throwaway character, and you think is not a good person and is, you know, going to be a bad guy. And you find out that, okay, wait, he might be an ally to the hero. And then there's other people where it's, you know, you're thinking, all right, this person actually cares about the hero, and in reality they don't. So there's some interesting things there. Once upon a time, I don't know. It feels a little forced. I'm going to watch it again. I'd like to see how it happens. It is an interesting way on how they brought everyone to our world. Basically, it's a fairy tale world brought here. And it's very interesting how they brought everyone here. So I will be interested to see how that one works out. I don't know.
We now interrupt the program currently in progress to ask you this important question.
Do you feel that there is nothing you can hearken to that will assist you in cultivating the thirst of knowledge you so rightfully crave? Does coming up empty vex you? Make you want to absquatulate? Then allow I, it should be me, DJ Me, to drop the proverbial bomb of knowledge on your ass!
You mean like the kind of knowledge like where you think people who have anesthesia, like, die?
Exactly like that, my good friend John!
Or they could just listen to our podcast, The Good, the Bad, and the Geeky, found on iTunes by looking up the keyword Good, Bad, Geeky.
Or checking out www.gbgpodcast.com.
Yeah, go there.
Any final thoughts?
No, I nothing current.
Maybe. Did you enjoy coming on my show?
Maybe a few future thoughts.
Future thoughts. News from the future.
No, it's fun. You know, this is it's a different... It's always kind of fun to be... Well, two things. One, to be on a show doing a different style of show from what I normally do. And two, not have to be responsible for editing.
Yes. Wait, that means I'm responsible for editing.
That's right.
Oh, darn. The music you've heard in this podcast was The Suburbs by Jessica May. You can find her music at maytunes.com or find her on Twitter at TheJessicaMay.
And if you're not hearing music, you're just like me, because I don't hear it.
Shut up, dork.
Ground. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.